Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Tell me what makes you sing? What makes you sing? What makes you sing? What makes you sing? With Larry Owens.
Ha! Hi, welcome back to another episode of What Makes You Sing with Larry Owens. I'm Larry Owens. This is the comedy podcast about music. You're obsessed with it. If you're tuning in for the first time, we haven't rehearsed any of this stuff. Okay, so it's all happening organic, 100% improv style, UCB style. No, not UCB style. Why did I say that? I take it back. But it's being played to perfection by James Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Owens.
Oh, Mr. Owens, formal. Yes. Okay.
I'd like to change up the greetings.
Oh, I'm noticing right now that your glasses are tortoiseshell.
Yeah, we have nearly identical glasses.
Nearly identical glasses. That is classic.
Yeah, that's why we work so well together.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm ready for a new pair of glasses.
How often do you change them?
I haven't gotten a new pair in 3 years. But I'm actually thinking about LASIK surgery.
I'm also thinking about LASIK.
Yeah, so if any listeners want to chime in with advice...
Yes, listeners, let us know about LASIK. This is riveting content. And just to keep it going, we're going to open the show how we open every show. It's with a request. This one comes from Shirley Q.
We got a fast car. I wanted to get to anywhere. Maybe we can make it here. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll get something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car, and I got a plan to get us out of here. But I'm at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Drive too far. This is the car running into the city. You and I can both drive. Finally see what it means to be living.
She's actually just gonna get a little bit worse.
You see, my old man's got a problem. He lives with a bottle, that's the way it is. His body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his.
Thing actually gets worse.
My mama went off and left him. She wanted him from life that he could give. Said somebody's gotta take care of him. So I quit school, that's what I did. You got a fast car, but is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or we can die this way. Remember we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, but like I was drunk. Say it like play out before. Say your arm out nice around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I'm alone. I had a feeling I could be someone. Be someone, be someone. You got a fast car.
Okay. Applause in the studio. And now it is time to keep that going, because in this studio we have one of my favorite performers. You've seen them all around town as our alter ego Candy Dish. You've seen them lighting up stages all across America, and you've seen them ding dong on your old television on the home box office as one of the stars of Los Spookies. It's the one, the only, Spike Einbender.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going great.
Thanks for having me.
Oh wow, thanks for coming.
Wow, this is so nice.
Yeah, we even have a doc in the studio for you.
I know. I was like, I couldn't believe that when I walked in, I was being led in by someone with a small dog in their arms.
This is a podcast first. This is literally kismet.
And it's a hypoallergenic dog.
Oh,
which is amazing because canonically, even though I love dogs, I'm allergic to dogs.
You're some people are foodies, you're a doggie.
Yes. And just like people who are foodies, I need dogs to live.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't bring your own pup to the studio.
Yeah, he's at home. He's not a all-weather guy.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. We're taping on like a sort of like gloomy night, like a gloomy rainy night.
Yeah.
In February.
Yeah.
So our vibe is really chill, cozy, one dog. It's just Yogi.
Yeah, only one dog.
Yes, one dog.
But also imagine if I just came, my dog's name is Spider-Man. If I came with Spider-Man and he was just like, there was another dog right there.
What do you call him for short?
I try to call him Spider. He really responds to Spider-Man. I didn't name him that. So it was his name for his whole life before I got him. And he's 8 years old now. So he was Spider-Man for a long time before we met.
Yeah. And Spider-Man, he shall
remain.
Yes. You know what? Sometimes names choose us.
That's true. I feel like, I changed my name because I wanted to. But with dogs that you adopt from the shelter, they must keep their names given by God or the people at the shelter.
And I really hate to even bring this up because it's not the energy I want us to have for the podcast. But naming of cats is a huge part of that actual film, is like when the cats get a name.
And Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know that there was a naming ritual. I know they also have intense names.
That's the movie.
Is there names?
You get a name. Yeah. You get a ride to the heavy side.
Yeah, one little specialty that they each have.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, and again, I know this is not the vibe of the pod, so I'll just try to keep this brief, but Cats is about a bunch of cats who compete for who can kill themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So,
competing for extinction.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I will see it one day.
it's very avant. It actually is kind of like a Brooklyn comedy show. It's like everyone walks out, does something indecipherable. People are obsessed.
They're like, this is my name. This is what I do and who I am. And you're just going to go with it.
Yes, this is my graphic design. This is my poster.
Yeah.
Kill me.
This is my full body makeup, which I often do. So, yeah.
Oh my God. Full body makeup. Talk about your onstage persona. Talk about... about when you put on the makeup.
Well, sometimes I do a comedy performance in drag as a character called Candy Dish, but usually I just do stand-up or like long-form comedic monologue performance that usually has like music backing track that I've like cobbled together from different sound pieces and voiceover. But the drag character Candy Dish, she's half woman and half eel. And she's just like this Jewish comedian. She's like 150 years old.
Very borscht belt.
Yeah, bog belt.
Because
she's half eel. But it's, and she just does stand up and usually burlesque. But that's me fully in drag. And I paint most of my body green and wear green garments to give the illusion that my skin is green everywhere. But she is a white person, technically. She's Jewish, but she's also an eel, so her skin is green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. And speaking of creatures, talk about the world of Los Spookies. You have one of like the most iconic like production designs I think I've ever seen.
It was the best experience of my life thus far in terms of filming anything, and being part of a television show was like unthinkable, and it was amazing to do.
The HBO series Los Spookies, which follows
Julio
a group of Julio Torres, Ana Fabrega. It's a group of friends who are spooks.
They basically create like horror scenarios for different individuals who request their services. Like, there's an episode where they have to fake an exorcism to get this priest's morale up. And
he needs something to do. Yeah. Okay, let's give him an exorcism. Yeah. And in comes the literally like the production design mavens.
Yeah, and they make the bed vibrate. And it's a really great show. But I'm actually the only monster that's real.
Oh.
Because I exist inside Julio's character, his character Andres. I exist in his head.
Oh my gosh. So you are a legit monster.
I'm like a demonic spirit that lives within him in like a void space. But the monsters that they create are of their own fabrication in the show.
Yes.
So that was something that once I realized, I was like, oh, that's pretty special.
You're like, oh, I cast magic. Like, yeah. I authentically cast magic.
I appear when he comes into contact with water. And it's, yeah, it's a very cute way to think about our friendship is like I'm a parasitic demon whom he calls upon for advice in hard times.
And are you obsessed with King's Speech? Is that
you? I've never seen it. I mean, yeah, no.
If you watch a series, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you listen to this podcast, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say I'm going to ask you the question that I ask all of my guests. Spike Einbender, what is the music that made you?
Well, my last name is Einbinder. It's okay.
Okay,
everybody.
Thank you.
Peter says Einbinder a lot on stage.
Authentically?
And I don't know why they do it, but they do that. And a lot of people have a lot of different variations,
but Einbinder.
Yeah, which is awesome because I'm Jewish, but people would say my name like that to me to be like, yeah, it's German, but it's like, that's not what we're going for here.
Oh,
but
gosh.
That is the music that made me was like the songs at Temple that they would sing was like where it started for me. And realizing like growing up in Los Angeles, being Jewish and seeing sort of like the Christmassy milieu of sound and how it sounds like very relaxed and like come into my warm house from the cold, and the Jewish like holiday sector of music is very like minor key and kind of like inherent sadness, like longing or like all the songs are like, you know, we remember this pain that we had, and through our tears, we can see like these candles burning.
Oh my gosh.
So that was definitely where it started for me, like going to Temple and hearing those songs.
So what's like in, okay, I've never been to Temple.
Oh.
Yeah. So what's one of those like slappy songs that everyone, James was.
Dianu, I mean, that's an upbeat one, but it still has this like, still has like this like polka-y, like,
it's kind of klezmer,
but you know,
what's one of those painful,
yeah, one of those, I mean,
pain.
Even O Hanukkah is like pretty, yeah, or,
Yeah, do you know it? I don't know.
I do know it. I was just trying to think of a different one that was like, well, you know, on Passover. Yeah, well, it's like, oh, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party. We'll all dance the horror. Gather round the table. I'll give you a treat. A dreidel to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. It's like, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm five. Like,
these songs are like the precursors to the Disney villain songs.
Yeah. It's like,
okay.
Oh, for sure. Oh, every song is like, and planning by the fire, planning my evil plan for the children, throw them in the fire, and then I'll take the land from the children. It's like, for sure.
Oh my God.
But it gave me like a proximity to evil that I was comfortable with at a young age before I fully ascended into it.
Oh my gosh. Well, but, I mean, we know Walt Disney.
Yeah. He was not a fan. Notorious.
Notorious. But I feel like there's like musically what I'm hearing and like in the what you just did, James, like that musical linking is warning.
Yes,
it's like
yes.
There's something like, well, it's like
my Temple. I remember also
never get too comfortable.
No.
Warning, like, well, you say these like remember.
I remember in my Temple during Passover, it wasn't a. Like, it wasn't a Jewish song, but my congregation at the synagogue would sing Go Down Moses. Like, because on Passover, we would definitely sing that. And that was, like, really intense. I know there's, like, a really, like, more upbeat, like, Louis Armstrong one. But, like, this, we would just, like, yes, yes.
Way down to Egypt's
yeah,
land.
Tell old Pharaoh.
Tell old Pharaoh.
Let my people go.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we would sing on Passover.
Yes.
And that's like, that's where I was like, oh, wow, there's, even though I'm a very small child, we're all singing this like together to reminisce in the pain that's within us. We're very young, and yet we are all reliving this pain that is like part of our history.
Go down, Moses, way
down to Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. When Moses was in Egypt's land, let my people go. They worked so hard they could not stand. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Let my people.
This is the two versions.
I'm so sorry.
Like, we're both.
I was like listening, just like, oh wow, okay, take it away, Larry. While
I'm,
I like
I'm
recline.
Delighting in the shared history. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
That, like the Negro spiritual,
but they're
the
like,
Jewish.
They just bring it back for Passover because it's the story.
It's the same song. Yeah. It's the same struggle. This is music. This is yeah. the podcast.
This is the podcast.
It's the same
the commonality
song.
Of two enslaved peoples.
Same song, yeah. two different stories.
It
but
is.
We're using the same music, the same text.
Yeah,
and even people. Who aren't from these two, if they, you know, what is your pharaoh? What is your symbolic?
That's true.
And those warning chords.
Yeah. Oh, there's the line where it's like, if not, I'll smite your firstborn dead. And you're like, okay, like, like little kids in a circle.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But that's definitely where it all began.
Oh.
But in that, like, I feel like that's why the pivot to like the next stuff that I liked after that was like goth music. And stuff like that, and like 80s, like was so natural because of that.
Okay, so you were in the temple, and then you begin to have your own musical identity, and so you're following some darkness.
Yeah, it was because my parents subscribed to Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Oh my God, Entertainment Weekly! This is the second interview in a row this has come up.
Really,
like the influence of it.
Did
yes.
they talk about getting the 80s wave compilation CD issue?
No, but okay. This is your story.
An issue came to the door, and I got it, and it had a CD like stuck to the magazine. It was like a special issue of Entertainment Weekly, and it said 80s wave one hit wonders compilation disc 1 and 2. It was like a two disc CD of
80s wave.
Yeah. Okay. It's like that's what I call music type cover, but not as like flashy.
Yeah.
It's like blue and orange cover. And they just had like the track list of that CD like turned me.
It was 1998.
Yeah. That so I was 7 years old. And it made me become the gay, trans, non-binary person what? That I am.
Okay, so there's your rhythmics.
That was the thing. The first song was...
Sweet Dreams.
The first song on the CD. And when the synth came in, it felt like I was got punched in the head.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, this is my identity now. I was
oh
like,
my
this
God.
Synth shit.
I feel like we have to do Sweet Dreams.
Okay, but you have to. I'll come in there.
No. Sorry, okay. I got. Look, when you probably go down Moses, like I don't know, like
okay,
I know I went out of pocket there, and I thank you for letting me have that.
No,
but,
no, I would.
But no, this is what makes Spike Einbinder sing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them wanna get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. It's me, 11, or no, 7 years old. Be abused. And yeah, just her, like, Annie Lennox going off. Annie Lennox, yeah. Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. It's a great song. And everything.
Is the hold your head up part?
Oh, You know that part?
No. What is that
part?
It's
like, hold your head up, keep your head up, moving on. Hold your head up, moving on. Keep your head up, moving on. And then it goes into like an absolutely shredding synth solo after that. Yeah, that's what happens. She rocks so much.
Sip, this is the patch moment, James.
Some of them want to use it. Yeah! Whoa.
It's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, I know. Why did that patch so flat? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go.
I just turned up the volume, which was a slider dial on the side of my Walkman.
Oh.
That's like what I listened to it on.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that so you have this earth-shattering CD of this music that came before you,
yes,
but that you
again
are vibing with too.
Yeah.
It's like dancey, it's upbeat, but the lyrics have an underbelly.
Yeah. Yeah. What was, I want to know what that was for you as well.
Well,
you,
okay, flipping the switch.
Flipping it up. Yeah.
I found like the title song of The Sound of Music. It like is really, I don't know, something that I just responded to like a lot as a kid. And I think it's because of like how just like it's so like well structured.
Yeah.
So that was, I was like, order, peace.
Do you have like cry songs? Like songs where you're like, this song equals tears?
I actually like don't cry a lot.
Oh, wow.
I know. So, which is crazy. But, and yeah, and art is the hardest thing to move me because I'm so technical.
Whoa.
Yeah. When I'm hearing any song, I'm like, I'm thinking of the key signature, like the arrangement, like everything.
Wow. Know? I'm like, I feel like I would use music to access emotion growing up. Like, that I was like,
what's
in a controlled way. I don't know. It just, sometimes they have to be happening to happen. But I was wondering if you had any like,
what's
on the
yours?
Ready. I don't know. I'm like trying to think of
but
one.
But you can cry to a song.
For sure.
What was the last song you cried to?
I don't remember. I think it was probably like rewatching Mulholland Drive or something. Like when they have the woman come out and sing the cover of Roy Orbison's Crying, but I will ruin that song. I'm also like, I feel like I don't have control over my voice in a way that I used to.
Oh my gosh.
Because I've been doing like hormone therapy. So
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, okay, this sounded one way in my head and also like maybe 2 weeks ago, but now it sounds kind of different. So that's like my disclaimer for like why I'm not good at singing, but it's also, it's fine.
No, everyone is like on the outside, you think everyone's like, I'm vocally well.
Yeah, but I'm vocally like unwell.
But like everyone's journey.
I'm vocal unwell.
So like, can you just talk more about that or is that?
Yeah, there's always like, I feel like throughout. Yeah, thank you for bringing us water.
Yeah, water from HP, Hot Producer Emma.
I don't know, like feeling emotion from songs. Like I used to feel a lot of emotion from Prince songs, and that was like something that I could easily access. And when he died, it was like a huge, it just like sort of was like an oil spill, and it became like more songs than normal were inducing tears. So things like that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that tonight.
Yeah,
but
so that's what I'm saying. Just like, just
okay. Yeah. But I would say that tonight, I think that you're like leading with a lot of just like joy and confidence, and we're so grateful to have you here doing this, like doing this scary stuff. Like it's old hat to me, and like, but I know that for guests to come on who. Some of them don't identify as singers, some of them don't identify as comics, and so there is like, you know, we work through it together.
Thanks for being here and supporting me on your podcast.
I'm the mediator.
Yeah.
I'm the mediator.
I know, but I want to know about you.
You want to know about me? Oh, well, you know, well, hey.
I want to find our Venn diagram, basically.
Our Venn diagram.
Yeah.
What linked us?
Yes.
Okay, so, well, this CD that you're obsessed with,
Yeah, anything on there resonating? the CD that you're obsessed
with.
It was called 80s Wave.
Entertainment Weekly, 80s Wave. It came out in 1998. Great year.
A magazine released a CD. Yes, this is the 90s. It's like, we're going to put a CD on a magazine. It's going to blow this shit wide open.
No, there's like nothing on here that I'm absolutely going crazy for.
This song today.
What?
Let me get off that. Everybody what? Wants to rule the world.
That's a great song.
Go for a spike.
I don't know the words.
Okay, we're gonna vamp.
Welcome to your life. I do love this band. Yeah. Sorry. To your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Oh, man.
It's my own desire. It's my own remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world. There's a room where the light won't find you. Holding hands while the walls come tumbling down. When they do, I'll be right behind you. So glad we almost made it. So sad they had to fade it. Everybody wants to rule the world. Oh, damn. This indecision, married with a lack of vision. That just turns into that. That's like what I feel.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I took that beat to think. I think that our Venn diagram
okay.
is going to, you were born in LA.
Yes.
So your show business.
Partially, yes.
Your showbiz.
Yes.
And I live in New York.
I live in New York.
So your showbiz.
Yeah.
So you know, there must be part of your life. Some showbiz music.
Yeah, well,
the
first time I ever got a laugh on stage was when I fell on stage during the sixth grade production of Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
I played the theater goer walking out of the movie and not liking the movie.
Yeah.
And sung like along with the ensemble, but I hadn't walked in heels before because gender, and I was like, my scene partner went out, said her line, and exited immediately. So I was said my line to no one, and I was in the middle of it, I tripped over my own foot and fell, and everybody laughed, but they thought it was like part. They thought it was a choice.
Yes.
And I remember being like, "This is great,"
oh,
and everybody in the play was really like, they were not happy that that happened. But I was like, "This is the only way I would have ever had any fun."
Gosh.
But by
chance, you just got to hear the swell of 100 people
yeah, it killed. It was not 100 people, but yeah.
200.
It was a sold out show at the Palladium. I was in sixth grade. Song Make 'em Laugh from that? That's like the song that I remember from that play. That was like
I don't know the super well, but I want to hear you do it.
This is like kind of the only way that I feel like I could ever be a part of musical theater is songs like something that go a little something like this. Make 'em laugh, don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old, what? I don't remember that lyric. Where it's like, oh yeah, make 'em roar, make 'em scream, take a fall but a wall split a seam, You'll start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You'll wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you'll get a great big custard pie in the face. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. It's like those songs. That's the only thing.
Wait, that was your anthem.
No, it was just like after realizing that I could, that was a way for me to connect during in a performative manner. I was like, okay, I do like this. And I was afraid to admit that I was into it. And then once I realized that there could be like some semblance of control versus like getting cast in a school play, like not trying because I didn't want to do that, but then being upset that I wasn't like a better part. You know what I mean? And being like, well, if I just take this into my own hands, maybe I can make something work.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, make them laugh. It's the anthem.
So goofy.
It's the anthem. And I also feel like another part of our Venn diagram would be queer music. I don't know what that means, but I guess we can just like, here, yeah, let's try on the podcast.
Let's try.
You know, that classic queer music that would bond us together, right?
I'd say mother play some of that good old-fashioned queer music.
Mom! And it's ragtime.
Yeah,
and it's,
that was a ragtime.
I like
voice.
Open the saloon doors and they like flap behind me.
Okay. Okay, and it's a queer
shit. Music. Yeah, yeah.
At the saloon.
What are you? The queer saloon. Yeah, cowboys are gay.
Blazing Saddles, Flaming Saddles.
Classically. What do you think is queer music? For you, what music? What makes you queer? With Spike Einbinder.
Queer music. You know.
Hi, welcome to What Makes You Queer.
What makes you queer? Yeah, ask... that's your spin-off podcast.
Yeah, my backdoor podcast. I just learned what that phrase means, and I finally used it. Backdoor.
What makes you queer? Yeah, James is still here.
Thank you.
Like,
I'm so
like
excited.
Not doing music.
Yeah.
Like, just everything about the brand is the same, but just what makes you queer with Spike.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine binder.
But yeah, what do you think is queer music for you?
You know, I'm just like I admitted to you that I had a massage earlier today.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm like so chill and zen, and like normally where I would have a million thoughts, I have zero thoughts.
Oh wow.
So we keep saying queer music, and I'm only can see Stephanie Germanotta.
Yeah, like, I mean, is it because you're looking at me?
Yeah, like you. I think you favor Steffi.
People do think that we look alike, and I was resistant to her because of that. I was like, I don't want to delve because we have a big nose in common or whatever. And then I delved and I was like, oh, she rocks and I love it. Like, but you,
wait, so you
I
you
like Lady
with,
Gaga.
You
yes.
bangs with Gaga.
Yes, okay, I'm saying it.
No, sorry,
this
I'm
is
like,
what makes me queer. I like Lady Gaga, okay.
I'm like clarifying for the I'm like, wait, so are you
no,
saying
yeah, I'm
that
saying it.
You
I'm,
bangs with
I'm
Gaga?
I really
that
I'm sorry. I'm
when so did you start to bang with Gaga and what was it? And
extremely when? Recently because the people I was noticing more and more that the people whose minds I respected enjoy her music. I was like, okay, whose mind do I respect? Amy Zimmer. Theta Hamill.
Theta.
You. Peter Smith. I'm like, all these people like Lady Gaga, and they're all geniuses.
I ran hard for Gaga during the campaign.
During the campaign?
Yeah, the movie. The movie was, I like
oh,
that.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but it was
I'm
fun.
Saving
it was
it.
Fun culture for me. It was fun culture for me, and I liked, like, just, like, cheering the games that she was playing with, like, the sound bites. Like, that's so fun.
Have you seen her play Bad Romance on the Piano in her documentary?
Yeah, I saw the documentary.
She does it really intense version, and at the end, when she ends it, it's, like, so... so poignant and beautiful. This is exactly how she does it. Want your bad romance. Gaga.
You're ugly.
I want your disease.
I want everything as long as it's free. I want your love.
Your love, 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 I want your love. Yeah, I want your trauma.
The touch of your hand.
I want your leather cutters and a kiss in the sand.
I want your love. Your love, 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 I want your love.
You know that I want you.
You know that I need you.
I want your bad,
bad romance. I want your loving, or your lover's revenge. Knowing he could write a bad romance.
Want to go like right back into O Hanukkah. It's like so proximal to that to me. It's just like
one for each night we shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Caught in a bad
like the most simplest, saddest.
In Egypt's land, told old Pharaoh,
let my people
romance. This is the most chaotic. This is what my brain is like at all times.
Tell old Pharaoh, rah, rah, ga, ga, ga.
Ooh, la, la.
And his kids love 25. It's ironic.
Oh, my God. But that is something that happens in my brain, where certain songs have to immediately go into another song without rejoining the actual song that they are.
And of course, asking you to name two songs right now would be crazy.
I'm trying to. I have one that goes into Rockin' Around the Christmas or Jingle Bell Rock, and I'm trying to remember what the first part is. But yeah, I will get it, and I will be far, far away from this room. I'll be like so far away with no one around.
And like, of course, asking here to name it right is. Now is I'm trying the most so impossible hard. I was like, to be asked.
Yeah, yeah, no, my brain is not up to the task. I don't have I didn't get a massage.
No, you're still worthy. And so musically, memories. So,
memories.
From LA. And then to New York, and then you become a comic.
Yeah.
You have your first performance in Singing in the Rain.
And then, and then I woke up in New York City.
Now
that's
you're
what
a television star and a star of comedy. What's happening in between? And then we're going to find a music memory in there.
Well, when I came to New York, I came just to do comedy, but I went to school and I started making like backing music for bits that I would do. And I know that there was like musical points in my life that I would try to bring in through performance. And this one doesn't have lyrics, but one of the bits that I have been working on for like a number of years was basically the person who I ever had my first kiss with broke up with me to music. He like put on music to break up with me.
No.
Yeah. He called me into his room on his birthday at his birthday party and press play like on a CD that was like already inserted in his computer and then proceeded to break up with me.
But absolutely not performance art.
I was 14. I couldn't believe it. And it was Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. And he was breaking up with me to that song. And I was just like sitting there absorbing what he was telling
saying,
me.
I'm going to become
did
a
he
want to
make it as sad for you as possible?
I don't understand like why he, because it was also like, it was at his birthday party during the party. So it must have been, it was so urgent. Like, it needed to occur.
It just seemed like such an event. Like, yeah, wow.
It was very scarring. But now I have reclaimed it through, like, a bit where I, like, read what he said to me and then reclaim it. Because after that moment, I did swear to myself that I was never going to be broken up with again, and have thus far maintained almost that exclusively. So it was like it definitely started me on a journey towards maybe revenge based comedy is not the way to put it, but something proximal to that.
That seems like a tall order to like vow to never be broken up with again.
Hey, you know, I'm not afraid of celibacy. That's all, okay. I gotta say.
And so the Moonlight Sonata
is just playing and is a
trigger.
Yeah, definitely.
And then so when you're making these backing tracks for your act, like what do they sound like?
For Candy Dish, when she does burlesque, I do it as her. She has a song that's called Swamp Girl, and it's a song that was from the 50s that this woman recorded for her burlesque act. And it's just like, there's a creature in the swamp, and like, it's a woman, it's a creature, like basically what she is. And and then I mix it into other songs that she then lip syncs to, and they're extremely cliche drag number songs, like Believe by Cher, and then Call Me Mother by RuPaul. And it's just like everything.
Queer music!
Yeah, oh, here we go, yeah.
Oh my God. But that's like, I think that's like quotation mark.
Yeah, oh yeah. But that's what I mean. That's why they're in the mashup for like,
yes, okay,
very, very old eel woman, because it's like the only way that she can
yes, but
understand.
That's still, yeah. Sorry, now I'm going back to queer music.
It's okay. Get
queer music.
Yes, for
and
sure.
And then Ernest, and then like queer music, quotation marks.
Yes. And I recently, I think queer music is something where like we have to reclaim certain music that's been taken from us or like deemed a certain thing, like even girl group stuff I feel like can have like an inherent sadness to it, and that to me like is like the unrequited love aspect of that is like very queer.
Oh wait, girl groups, like, yeah. Which ones?
Like the Shangri-Las or like the Ronettes.
What songs of longing get you going?
Oh my God, this is just more like sad, sad.
But sad, sad.
You can never go home anymore.
That's
the Shangri-Las.
Shangri-Las. Your taste. Come on.
Is it taste? It's just like, I don't know. It's just sad songs.
Where'd you get this one? Like, when did you hear this song? I don't think I know this one.
I don't understand how I really loved Roy Orbison, and I loved Joe Meek, who was like a producer who worked with a lot of really obscure girl groups. And then I started like trying to find girl group music from other countries, and the Shangri-Las are an American band, but I just became obsessed. Yeah, it's really, I don't know.
No, but. when did you So you're obsessed with Roy Orbison.
Yeah, and just like wanted to find, he's extremely sad man. And I was like, well, what's this, like the girl group typical song is like very poppy and fluffy, but these were also ones that were very sad, which is a running theme in the music that I like. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, just yeah. Go for it. I'm not going off chords.
The thing is, this has an extremely long spoken word intro.
Oh, yeah, no, hit it, we want it.
I'm gonna hide if she don't leave me alone. I'm gonna run away. Don't, 'cause you can never go home anymore. Listen, does this sound familiar? You wake up every morning, go to school every day. Spend your nights on the corner, just passing the time away. Your life is so lonely, like a child without a toy. Then a miracle, a boy. And that's called glad. Now, my mom is a good mom, and she loves me with all her heart. But she said I was too young to be in love, and the boy and I would have to part. And no matter how I ranted and raved, I screamed, I pleaded, I cried. She told me it was not really love, but only my girlish pride. And that's called bad. Now that's happened to you. Don't let this. I packed my clothes and left home that night. Though she begged me to stay, I was sure I was right. And you know something funny? I forgot that boy right away. Instead, I remember being tucked in a bed and hearing my mama say, Mama, I can never go home anymore. And that's called sad. It's like the saddest song. Just about a girl thinking she knew more than her mother. And then when you're on that cold, cold pavement, you miss the bed so much. But like a young, young girl. Very sad.
Oh my gosh. I love spoken content. I love...
What makes you... Speak.
Weep.
What makes you weep?
I love just like an absolute monologue. And then a, Mama!
Yeah, it gets really dramatic at that part. And you can never... Yeah. Go home anymore. Mama! It like keeps happening.
Mama!
No, I can never...
Mama!
Go home anymore. Yeah. And that's called sad. That's how the song ends.
Sad. Oh, well, okay. You can tell everyone out there where they can find you, where they can see you, where they can,
you can
love
find
you.
Me, you can find me online. My username is Spike with a bunch of underscores and periods thrown all in. I'll leave you to figure that out. And my Twitter is at Spike Einbinder. And I am going to be on Los Espookys season 2, so
shooting
happening.
Soon in Chile.
Yes, very
soon.
You're
going off to Chile.
Yes, I am.
That is Spike Einbender. Wow, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me,
Larry. Such a special episode.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah. We sat down with Spike. Such tales did they bring. We hope you didn't forward fast. Subscribe. Don't miss a thing. From Larry.
James.
Spike.
What makes you sing? Good times and bum times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here. Hush velvet sometimes, sometimes just pretzels and beer, but I'm here. I've stuffed the dailies in my shoes, strummed ukuleles on the blues, seen all my dreams. I've slept in shanties, guest of the WPA, but I'm here. Danced in my scanties, $3 a night was the pay, but I'm here. I've stood on bread lines with the best, watched while the headlines did the rest. In the depression, was I depressed? No way. I met a big financier, and I'm here. I've been through Gandhi, Winter, and Wally's affair, and I'm here. Amos and Andy, Mahjong and Platinum, and I'm here. I got through AB's Irish Rose, Fondy on Baby's Major Balls. Had heebie-jeebies for me.
I've been through Beverly Hills and I'm here. Reefers and vinos, rescuers, religion and pills, and I'm here. Been called a pinko, call me tool. Gone through a stingo by my pool. I should have gone to an acting school. That seems clean. Still someone sad and sincere, so I'm here. Good times and bunk times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here. Plus velvet sometimes, sometimes just pretzels and beer, I'm here. I've run the gamut, A to Z, three cheers and damn it, say la vie. I got through all of last year, and I'm here. I know at least I was there. I'm here. Look who's here. I'm still here.
Forever. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.